Oh, my goodness. 9 o'clock in the morning. Hello. Welcome to the sound show. Aw, supposedly I was going to have some people call in today. Wix is hiking again. He's off in the mountains in the Rockies. And he's going to call in on Skype. And we have a new person, a new member of PCOM, goes by Moby or Ron. And he was saying he would call in today too, but it's, you know, it remains to be seen if anybody actually will do what they say they're going to do. It's incredibly hot. As everyone probably knows, especially on the West Coast, it's we're in the middle of this colossal heat wave, the first real bad heat wave of the year. And as soon as it goes away, we're going to have another, a cool wave, or a relatively cool wave, for a few days. And then we're going to have another heat wave where it's back into the hundreds. So, I don't know. Yeah, and we're not real, in this household, we're not real generous with our air conditioner. Like, it's set to kick on when the upstairs temperature reaches 87 degrees, which is kind of ridiculous. Or I think it's either 87 or 86. It's kind of a sad scene. So I don't have any guitars hooked up today. Just got a keyboard instrument, piano, usual Steinway Grand. So yeah, I had a fan on, that makes it more bearable, but it's very loud. Like, I'll let you listen, you can hear this. I can even see the level meter changing when I turn the fan on. It's much more comfortable, but I don't know if I want to have it on the whole time. And I guess the thing is, this desk fan is a little bit loud. I was looking at, you know, one of those internet articles, product review articles that you find by Googling best desk fan, and then they rank some fans, and then one of them they mentioned was $100, but it was a Whisper Quiet. So you can get a Whisper Quiet desk fan for $100 if you want. So I don't have any chat rooms in front of me. I was chatting with both Moby and Wix on the Skype app, but I don't have that in front of my face, so I'll just wait. And I'll see if, like, you know, my little ringtone, my Skype ringtone blasts me. I think there's no way to adjust the Skype ringtone by itself so it's not quite so loud without adjusting the rest of the Skype volumes, which are normally pretty good, pretty, like, where they're supposed to be. But I'm going to turn that fan off. It's just not worth it. So, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do today. It's only 5 minutes in. I don't know, maybe today will be the day I finally cut the show short. I always fantasize, like, in those times when the show doesn't really go, I don't want to say well, but it doesn't flow, let's just say, that I'm just going to say, okay, that's enough for today. I'll just cut the show short 5 minutes in. But it always kind of, it's difficult when you have something in your head like, okay, maybe people might call in today, but then nobody calls in. And it's just like, okay, well, then now what do? For some reason, I always feel like the guitar is like a more legitimate instrument than the keyboard. I don't know exactly why that is. And, you know, I don't even know that it's true that I'm really all that much better at the guitar than the keyboard. Probably it's true. Hit all my fifths. It's as high as I can go. Minor sixths are weird. There's a minor sixth. It's the only one I know offhand. Other ones I gotta figure out by eye. There's another one. Here is another one. Okay, here's another one. And here is another one. It's kind of easy when you think about it because I can do fifths by eye quickly. So you just gotta shift your position one semitone over, so for a minor sixth. So it's kind of easy. So I often think I need to get more tonally familiar with different intervals so I can incorporate them into my improvisatory piano playing. Fuck, 10 minutes in. Okay. Anywho, what should I talk about today? Okay, I can talk about climate change. Talk about the heat wave. It makes me kind of panic. Like, I don't know if I can stand to be alive if it's going to be this hot all the time. But I often look at, I go to wonderground.com, Weather Underground, and I look at their climate map. They got the Wonder Map, which shows the temperatures all over the world. And it's still pretty nice on the very, very, very edge of the West Coast, like all the way up. And pretty much the whole West Coast of the United States and all up into Canada is, it's like, it doesn't get much hotter than 70. So I think you can still find nice temperatures, but there's this funny thing that my aunt said that has stuck with me for years and has been gnawing at me painfully for all those years. Like, I think, I don't know, I said something like what I just said now about how I wanted to move to a better climate. And she kind of admonished me in this faux wise way and said, there's not enough land for everyone to live in a temperate climate. And for some reason that bugged me. I think it sort of came across as kind of a, I don't want to use any political words here that are going to make me run afoul of people, but it seemed like kind of a leftist kind of a statement, like you can't have what you want because it's not fair, because everyone doesn't get that thing. You can't advantage yourself over other people and, you know, somehow position yourself hierarchically up so you're getting more, you're wealthier in some sense than like the bulk average of humanity. I guess that's just what bugged me about it. Like sort of a Harrison Bergeron type thing. Like if you happen to be smarter than everyone, you got to put a device in your ear that, you know, makes horrible sounds so it cognitively interrupts you so you won't be lifted above anyone else. It's just this kind of like this equalist ethos. And I think that's essentially what bothered me about that. But at any rate, I don't think it's entirely true. Like certainly, well, San Francisco is, I was just looking today, the cheapest house in all San Francisco, and it's this little shack. It's like a one-bedroom, one-bathroom house with no backyard, and it was $600,000. You can get and I was looking in other places, and you can get a house for $50,000 in like Akron, Ohio. So it sort of is a little bit puzzling. Like, does that change of locations from Akron, Ohio to San Francisco, California, does that warrant an order of magnitude increase in price? And I don't know, it's very, well, you know, I guess it has to do with jobs. That's really the thing. And in a way, I shouldn't be talking because I don't have a job. So this is kind of, you know, all foreign to me. But it's like, yeah, I guess you can find these incredibly high-paying jobs are in the San Francisco Bay Area. So real estate prices are going to reflect that. And then in Akron, Ohio, maybe it's not so much of a booming tech industry in Akron, Ohio. But Jesus Christ. A very piercing C. You ready for my tritone? I'm always accidentally hitting tritones. It's very embarrassing. I'm doing it on purpose. Ready? I fucked that up. Didn't hit it on the beat. SMJ made fun of me for fixating on tritones. And it's true, I kind of do fixate on them. Because I'm always accidentally doing them. I don't know any by heart, except for C and F sharp, and then I guess B flat and E. That's from the guitar, because it's like, that's the most obvious tritone on the guitar, is when you have your open E, and then Your tritone on the fifth string is the, yeah, the B flat. Blah, 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 blah. See if anything is going on in my Skype window. Oh, nobody has said anything. So, I don't know. I got this new application for OS X. Oh, it's not OS X anymore. It's Mac OS. Sorry. It was never OS X. So it's OS 10. So I doubly messed that up. Anyway, so this new app that I got, that I downloaded for free from the App Store, is called Magnet. And all it does is auto-arranges the windows on your screen, which is something I kind of did myself in an OCD way, like just getting the windows to line up exactly in the screen the way I want them. So in a way, this program was kind of a loss because I don't get to be so OCD with a mouse anymore. But with a bunch of key commands, you can automatically set an application to take up, you know, the full left side of the screen or the full right side of the screen or the full upper left quadrant, etc. And I use it a lot. I use it all the time. I don't think I could live without this program. I would kill myself immediately if this program went away. That's not really true, but I like it. It's fun. Ooh, I see a bug outside. It's hanging out. See, what does the temperature say? I have a technique for viewing my thermometer. It's some reason it doesn't seem to be ever at the right angle for me. I can never see it. So I got to use my recorder and push it. And it is at 9:17 in the morning. It is 84 degrees outside. It is 78 degrees inside. I'm uncomfortably hot. I like it when it's cold. So, like, it in the wintertime, sometimes I've seen it get as low as 57 degrees inside the house. And that's a little too cold. But I think my ideal is, like, maybe around 65 for the inside. 70 is fine, of course, but I do like it a little bit colder. Yeah. So the AC will kick on when the upstairs gets to be 87 degrees, which means that usually it doesn't get any hotter than 80 down here. Like, once it hits 80, that's about when the AC will kick on. And it doesn't even cool the upstairs down from 87. Basically, it keeps it steady at, like, around 85, 86, 87. And it's just an ongoing fight between the air conditioner and then the sun that lasts all day until it finally cools down in the evening. This is my life. This is going to be my life from now until friggin' October. Although, no, it's not that bad, but I'm always horrified by how long the summer, quote unquote, seems to last. It's uncomfortably hot, like, well into October, sometimes even November. Maybe I'm just a whiny little bitch, but I don't know. I think that's probably true. But both things could be true. So we switch. Shall we switch instruments to the Hammond B3? Whoa. What was that? I heard a very strange noise. It might have come from my house, or it might have been something with Logic Pro, some little Hammond B3 noise. Thank you. Hear that? Maybe Jim might be doing something, some kind of, oh, this is the other news is that all of the outlets in our kitchen mysteriously broke. So we have no kitchen outlets, so no Alexa, no microwave, and no toaster, and no coffee grinder. So that's kind of a problem. I imagine that someone's going to have to call the electrician, and they're going to have to come and fix it. We looked at the, whatever the, they call that, this the what do the breaker board, you know, the circuit breaker board in your house. And, you know, you see a little light on a circuit if it is tripped, and you flip it back and forth, but nobody, meaning neither Jim nor I, were able to see any problems there. So I think we have a household electrical issue. And I can't help but think it's related somehow to all the air conditioning suddenly drawing all this power, like, you know. But, yeah, there's definitely something going on. Maybe an electrician is even here. You know, an electrician may be here. Okay, screw the Hammond B3. What do you want instead of the Hammond B3? How about the vintage Clav? Start getting weird when they get low. They become very unresonant. That's a weird low C. I guess that just imitates the way a real clavichord is. I don't know. The last real resonant note you can do is this low-ish E flat. Let's do synth. Synth. I think the synth is good for amateur keyboard players like me that just kind of noodle, because you can cover up a lot of your inability to play more than two notes at once. Because it doesn't sound so bad with some of these synth sounds. Let's go under classics. I don't remember the name of the one I like that I was looking for. I think it was Hold and Dissolve. Ooh, that sounds very different with earphones. Thing about this one is that it's a compound, complex interval. It's a harmonic interval. Every note I press is a fifth. Which increases the complexity and kind of makes it easier for me to play complicated things. For some reason, I deleted all the presets that I had in Logic Pro. I think I just got an... I thought it was constraining me. Because, you know, the thing is my tastes within Logic Pro change kind of minute to minute or day to day. And I'm not always like... And I figured that putting all my favorite patches into like a little set was just constraining me to those patches. And then it wasn't enabling me to kind of explore the program very well. And I think it's basically still right. But I kind of am thinking now, like, I'm trying to remember the names of some of these patches that I liked, and I can't because it's been so long. But I did kind of find a new one that I appreciate. This FM piano. Kind of sounds like a 90s cheesy movie. Actually, this is one with the movie regarding Henry. They have a really, I really like the soundtrack. I mean, it's striking. And I think they use like an FM piano like this. This one has got a ton of effects. It's got the ES2 synthesizer, which is, yeah, it's pretty good. But it's got an EQ, a chorus, a tremolo, a delay, a reverb, and a limiter. So let's see what it sounds like when I turn all of this stuff off. I'll turn off the EQ, the chorus, the tremolo, the delay, the reverb, and the limiter. Is that really a huge difference? You may like it better without all that crap in the background. I kind of do. No, I find that, like, in terms of processing power, there's kind of a... Logic Pro is kind of a letdown. Like, for the amount of computer work that it's doing, it doesn't really alter the sound all that much. And I don't know, maybe that just means that I don't have a very good ear, or that I, you know, I don't have a very subtly tuned ear for certain things. I do for pitch, so that's always kind of made me think, like, yeah, I'm a big audio guy, I'm so great, haha, because I can hear these pretty small differences in pitch, and I'm good at tuning up guitars, for instance. But I think that I don't really have a good ear for production type stuff, like some very subtle timbral differences. And I've been over this before, but like, I've got this catalog, this Sweetwater catalog, which is like a pop music kind of an online store. And some of the things in it just astound me. Like, you can buy equalizers for like $5,000. You can get a $5,000 equalizer when I have a free equalizer here in my digital audio workstation that does the same thing. And I just don't know if these things can all pass the listening test. I can't imagine I'm the first one to bring this up. But there's also the possibility, like, if you say, hey, is this really worth it? Or like some of these microphones, like somebody, SMJ actually linked it to me in PCOM, was a Sweetwater microphone. It was a $5,000 microphone, which is not uncommon. It's almost reasonable within audio circles to buy a $5,000 microphone. And like, I have a Shure SM58 here, And that's kind of a standard, kind of a vocal mic, a workhorse vocal mic. Then my other mic is an SM57, and that's for amping guitar mics. It sounds a little different. Like, if I have them side by side and I use them both for vocals, the 57 is a little bit poppier, and I get more of a problem with my P's, my that kind of that's what you buy a pop shield for. But I've never really liked the way the pop shield makes everything sound, because I think it reduces those highs that I like so much, that crispiness that I like so much. So, well, like, you know, there's that famous Beastie Boys line in their songs, "I never rock the mic with a pantyhose." And what that means is using it a homemade screen, which is a homemade pop shield, which is what they're referring to. So they never do that. So you want to be like the Beastie Boys, never use a pop shield. Luminous Tide, a Holden Dissolve. I think I might have liked that one. That's right, I was just playing that. It's a little bit of a different thing for me to play with all these patches with earphones on, because they do sound different. Listen to that vibrato. It's so wide and slow. If I change the mod wheel, it just changes the timbre, makes it a little bit sharper. For some reason, that's sounding a little Red Martian-y, a little SMJ-like. Oh, he's listening to my show. He often does. But sometimes he doesn't. So, I don't know, dude. It looks like today we're not going to have any call-ins. Let me just double-check the Skype window, make sure I'm not on Do Not Disturb or something. Okay, so Wix made a Wix face at me. At 9:16 a.m., a Wix face is you do a colon, the two dots, and then you type a slash. So it's like a mild discomfort, a mild disenchantment, just kind of a disquiet face. It's not a sad face. It's not an angry face. It's just like a somewhat a tad of displeasure. That's a Wix face, and it's got universal appeal, baby. But I'm kind of liking this patch more, this Luminous Tines more. And I think that's the thing with patches. I've remarked on this before, but the massive amount of patches that you can play with in Logic Pro, it kind of brings about a situation where you don't pay very close attention to the sound you're making, and you're always thinking, well, I don't like this one very much. Let me move on to the next one and see what it's like. Let me move on to the next one. This one isn't good enough. Let me move on to the next. And you just spend your entire time switching, like every 5 seconds, from patch to patch to patch. And you never really get used to a single one. I think something about this patch makes me play slowly. I think I might be the vibrato. Oops. It's so piercing. And that crazy wide vibrato, I kind of like it and hate it. Now it's time to switch the patch. Okay, I'm going to do one that I never do, and I'm going to learn how to enjoy it and use it and make the most out of it, even if I don't like it. So this one I have a very bad feeling about. Pensive pluck. Ready? Like, who cares? Oh, it was doing that tremolo thing because I had the mod wheel up. Oh, somebody just called me. Hello? Hello? Nobody's answering. I'm gonna hang up. How would you rate this call? Okay, let me try. Call. I think it was in the chat, the group chat room. So I'm gonna try calling Moby Moniker myself. Moby is unavailable. Well, I guess that's not going to work. Call declined, it says. So he may have some setting that he put on his... That happened to me a couple times. Oh, okay. Try it again. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Moby. Is this you?
Hang on, I didn't hear that.
Hi, well, it's nice to hear your voice, finally, after all of these months. How long have I known you on PCOM? Just like not that long, right? Like a couple months or a few months?
A couple of years at this point.
You think it's a couple of years? Okay. So you're go ahead. No, go ahead.
No worries. I've got a speakerphone on. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh. I can hear you, but I can tell that it's a speakerphone. So what is your setup like? Are you on like a laptop or?
I'm on my phone.
On your phone? Okay. Groovy. So I think if I had heard you, I would have assumed you were Scottish or like Northern English or something like that. I don't really know what a Welsh accent sounds like, but do you have like a typical Welsh accent or do you sound strange?
I'm not sure. I do find that I have quite a high voice for a Welsh person.
High, as in like the pitch is high?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you don't sound particularly high pitched to me. I'm thinking about, well, there's just this thing with the UK, like it's like there's almost a continuity of sounds. Like you get from London, you hear like the typical kind of a London accent, and then like the twang kind of increases in a continuous way all the way up to Scotland. So it's like people sound progressively more and more and more Scottish as you go north. But maybe Wales throws a wrench in those gears. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what the Welsh accent is like. I wouldn't be able to recognize it if I heard it.
Yeah, and so you are right in the sense that going from London or England area towards Scotland. It does build up by every county you want to call it. But I find that there's a difference in accent every 10 miles.
Really? Wow.
A lot of people, people I went to school with, things like that, people would pick up accents and say, oh, you're from Carmarthen.
Right,
you're
right.
You're from one of them was Johnstown, which was a street in Carmarthen.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, how have you known that? He said, I just know him.
Huh.
So that was me taking it and looking into it a bit too much.
Yeah, well, I've heard that about the UK, that people are always trying to grasp each other's accents, and you can tell a lot about a person, like where they're from. There's a whole accent thing in the UK that doesn't really exist in America. Like, nobody really cares that much about accents here, I guess. I don't know, but so what do I sound like to your ear? Like, what kind of an American accent do I have?
To be honest, it's like a mix of kind of not Texas or Southern, but in the sense that it's more. Not so much your accent, but the actual tone of your voice.
Okay, all right.
It's a bit Southern. It's not
a bit Southern. That's what they said in Canada when I went there for school. They said I had like a little bit of a Southern twang. So, and then when I came back to Maryland after living in Canada for 3 years, I heard the Southern accent, and everybody was like, "Wow, I never thought Maryland was a Southern place," but I guess so.
God knows, I'm fucking terrible at geography.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that people, like, even, you know Tom in PCOM, he was surprisingly ignorant about American geography. Like,
is Tom the one from New Zealand?
Yes, yeah, he's from Auckland, New Zealand, yeah. So, yeah, I really like that about SDF. You meet these people from all over the world, and I kind of credit some of my interest in cultural geography to SDF, just like all these different people from these different places. And it's like you become interested in the places and you read about them on Wikipedia. So it kind of makes you into a broader international man, I think.
Do you know, I think I told you a couple of months ago or weeks ago, I'm not sure. But at some point I went onto the SDFers page and I saw this girl. She looked about younger than 12. And yep. I thought, I recognize her. I know her face.
Huh.
Like, I didn't recognize that photo. It might have been someone I know when they were younger, but I know the structure of her face.
Okay.
And it was just something that struck me. It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I don't remember that in the chat. This is the first I recall hearing of it. So who do you remember the username?
No, it was, the SDF's homepage?
Yeah, with the photos, right?
Well, yeah, when I click on the photos, it'll only show me photos. Mm-hmm. That's why when Wix sent that Anna Wixie thing, it really threw a wrench in there for me because I didn't know who that had actually come from.
Okay. Yeah, I see that the number one photo is somebody named Blink with two eyes, and he looks, I don't know, Italian or something. He's wearing like this sporty jacket.
We need to get acid on that.
I'm sorry, say that again?
We need to get acid on that.
Yeah. That would be good. Have you ever seen a picture of acid?
I have.
Okay, describe his look to me.
How can I... There isn't anybody that I could say he looks like.
Like, would he stand out in a crowd? Is he kind of unusual looking, or does he just look like an average guy, kind of?
He'd blend in if he wanted to.
He'd blend in, but, okay.
Yeah, if you knew him and it was a big enough, he'd stick out just because he doesn't look like many other people.
Interesting. And you and Acid are around the same age. I don't want to say specifically, because you said no doxing, so I don't want to say specifically how old you are, but I think you are around 20, give or take 2 years, let's say. So are both you and Acid are around 20?
Yeah. Last time I asked him, there was 2 year age gap.
Okay. So you were you have some. And how did you two meet? I don't remember the story, unless this is also personal information you don't want to divulge, which is fine. But can you tell that story?
I'd rather you ask him and then him say, yeah, I don't care if you say whatever, but obviously don't say anything too obvious. If he said that, I'd tell you.
Okay,
But
but it was obviously on some kind of internet community of some kind.
yeah,
So, yeah.
it was we called it a group chat just
Okay.
for ease of instead of putting a word on it every time.
All
But
right. And
I met him through the group chat and just banter back and forth. But eventually something happened and I didn't know until I asked someone, where is he? And they had said what had happened. And I'm sure you yourself know what happened, but I don't really want to say it
I know
on the show.
actually I'm not sure what you're referring to, but I, at one point I thought Acid was from Nevada, but then he started getting I got that impression somehow, but then he seemed to change his mind and say, no, I don't want anyone to know where I am, so I'm not going to even specify. But so yeah, I think I'll just allow Acid to be as anonymous as he wants to be.
Yeah.
Do you know his real first name?
I do.
You do, okay. And he knows yours.
Yeah.
So when you do chats outside of SDF, do you call each other by your real first names?
Yeah, but not anymore, because we used to talk outside of SDF, but now it's only really SDF.
Yeah, okay. So, would you ever buy like an ARPA membership on SDF? Become like an official lifelong member, or are you going to stay pre-validated?
I don't know who's listening, but maybe not.
Maybe not. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're just in case SMJ is listening. You don't want to say, no, I'll never buy an ARPA. Fuck that. Yeah.
It's more of a, I don't really have a need for any of the services
Right.
other than PCOM, XCOM,
Yes. So you just use it for a chat room, or do you, were you are you or were you ever into IRC?
Honestly, I'll have to ask you what IRC even means.
Oh, that's it's Internet Relay Chat. It's probably the oldest kind of a chat room thing that's it's been around since like the 70s and 80s. And it's actually pretty similar to PCOM and COM.
Yeah, like server based.
Yes.
I know Acid is what do you call it? He's been into it, but I don't know to what extent.
So your experience with, I guess, socializing on the internet has been in kind of is it basically been on the web, like web forums and web communities, or are you into gaming too, or?
I used to be, but it's just I lost interest. I've just lost interest in a lot of games.
Yeah, me too,
There's
man.
not much that comes out that I enjoy.
Yeah,
The last
I'm the same
game
way.
that I sorry, I forgot what I was going to say before that then. But what I was going to say is the last game I really enjoyed was GTA.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, and it's just that it's easy. It's always in the PlayStation or Xbox or
Okay.
whatever, and I just like driving around.
Yeah, it's kind of it's an open world type game, I think, and you can just kind of play it and not really have a specific goal and just kind of exist and not do a whole lot. Maybe like Minecraft, I don't know.
I'm Minecraft. I like Minecraft, but
Yeah,
it's
okay.
more. I like to get on a bike and shoot someone.
Yeah.
Always would make a joke of it, but I play too much, and it's like I never saw it like that. I just it's the only thing that I had to do other than work out at one point.
Okay.
So why not?
And you said it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon now, your time?
5:50.
5:50. Okay, you're gonna have dinner, or what are your dinner plans?
I'm not sure.
Unsure what your dinner plans are. Does your grandmother usually make you dinner?
Yeah, I'm terrible at cooking.
Okay.
A while ago, I broke my right hand, and the knuckle itself, the metacarpal, that goes to your wrist. I broke that in two different places, and it twisted round.
Was that
So
for,
at some
I
point,
think,
my hand.
is that that same in,
Sorry.
is that that same incident that we heard about a while ago in PCOM, where you kind of flipped out and hit a wall?
No, but that was similar, but
Okay.
what happened to my right hand was I hit a kid because he had came at me and I hit the wall instead. So I hit him again, and after like three hits, I couldn't ball my hand
Oh
anymore.
no.
So I looked at it and I could see the knuckle had swollen straight away.
Was this in like a bar or a pub or a club or some kind of public venue, or how did the situation come about?
It was at school.
School. Okay, school.
Yeah, I was about 13 or 14 when it
Oh,
happened.
okay, you're very young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you believe that I've never been in a fight in my entire life?
I'd find it hard to believe because you said about your taekwondo
Because
experience.
I'm kind of
You're a
obsessed.
good boy.
I'm kind of obsessed with the idea of fighting, and I think it's probably because I've never been in a fight, so I think about it all the time. I don't
I've been a handful of fights. Closing the window, sir.
okay.
But I've having a handful of fights and experience of sparring people. I haven't been in anything serious, like.
Okay.
But I do enjoy it as a sport.
You enjoy it as,
Like,
like,
if me,
did you ever
like you
do
said,
martial arts or?
yeah, when I was a kid,
Okay.
probably 6 till 12.
Okay.
I had a good few years doing it, but
Okay.
it was kickboxing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So
I
kind of
found
similar to Taekwondo. So yeah.
it, but I never really got far with it because I was never allowed to compete because of my age at the time. I couldn't go for a license and did a license to do anything,
A
but
license
they
to for
didn't.
how does what does that mean? A license is in terms of kickboxing.
Like an amateur boxer or any kind of thing, they would need a license to actually have actual match.
Okay.
It's the same, except not training as in we go there on a Monday and spar. By training, they mean like a tournament. The gym will have tournaments themselves,
Okay.
but they're regulated by someone.
Did you ever get injured in a sparring match? Like somebody hit you in the face, broke your nose, or something like that, or?
No, I got injured scratching. We were, I think you'd have done them before, but it was basically we'd sit down in front of each other, grab each other's wrists, and if it was me stretching you, then I'd put my feet against your ankles and push out
Oh,
until.
yeah. We used to do stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and one kid just kicked my leg to the side, and it really hurt.
Yeah, that's interesting. My only lasting injury from Taekwondo was from overstretching my right hip joint, and I still feel it to this day. I actually re-injured it in yoga. So, yeah. But it was a very it was a no contact type of school. Like I never once in the whole time there wore a mouth guard or a groin protector, so it just this hard sparring was not encouraged. It was all very either light contact or no contact sparring.
Yeah, which was a lot of which was a case for me a lot of the time, because for years I was really good at kicking because I was so flexible. But after a while, because I had stopped going, I'd still do drills, but at a wall or something. So as you come to the end of the kick, you've got to pull it back.
Right.
So I've been you either doing it like that or slowly bringing the kick up and putting it back, standing back,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've kind of lost the ability to actually kick.
Okay.
It's weird to explain,
Well, I can
but
sort of
I've
see what
got,
you're saying. Like I, the way I took Taekwondo was it was almost like more like gymnastics than it was fighting for me. It was like a body movement class, you know, just stretching your legs, moving your legs around. I would kick pads, like target pads, but I think I never once hit a heavy bag, so I never actually knew how to connect and hit an object with force in the whole time I was there. So it never really translated into a fighting system for me. It was just an athletic event.
Which can be useful in itself. It doesn't have to be fighting,
Yeah, I
right?
mean,
Like,
I enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it, but you know, I just but in terms of practical use, like I really don't think there was much for me at least. But I have some evidence that if you're really good, then your school will take you and enter you in like tournaments on their behalf. And that never happened to me. So I think that I just may not be that, I may not have been that good. I was good in some ways. I was good at like the kicks. I could kick really high, pretty accurately. But I think that in terms of fighting, I just never had that ability. So.
and I don't have any Taekwondo experience myself, but I know people who have, and they've always told me that to be into a competition, you've got to be really aggressive. You can't fit nicely, like boxing. If there was an actual boxing match, we could go into it friends and come out of it friends. But that half an hour in the ring, we're not going to be thinking, oh, let's not try not to kill him, because that's what boxing is. I any good fight, they're trying to kill each other. So with Taekwondo, because you're not allowed to hit the body, only the head, I was told,
You can only punch the body.
you've got to be really aggressive in your movements, quick enough, slap the kick and then not to notice, because they're very flashy kicks. The footwork is very, it's as if somebody thought you could make the footwork twice as well, just to confuse people.
Confuse people. Well, so is there like a is there a boxing tradition, like a pretty strong boxing tradition in Wales? Like, do a lot of people know how to box?
Yes and no. I wouldn't say it's a tradition, but I'd say it
I
is.
always think of the UK as being like, I think of it like more people are kind of tough in the UK versus America. Like America's kind of soft. In the UK, you get more people that are kind of tough and know how to fight and are more streetwise. And I don't know, do you think that's true?
I'd say it depends where.
Well, it depends where, yeah.
I'm sure you know there's a lot of knife crime in London and places like that. And personally, I think none of it would be happening if they could just fight. If they didn't feel scared and need that knife, then just put gloves on and fight. Don't take 20 friends to go jump one guy. It doesn't, no respect.
So there's like a little bit of honor implied there. Like people are, there's kind of an honor system to fighting.
Anybody who carries a knife, they don't think like that. But when you see an actual fight and they're mutual, like best word I can use is mutual combat.
Mutual
If,
combat. Like a duel.
yeah. But just for what do you call it? I'm trying to think of the word.
Oh, we got about 3 seconds. So thank you for calling in.